Welcome back to Gambler's Podcast, Dark Side of Gambling, where I discuss my journey over the course of the last 21 years with gambling addiction, recovery, and everything in between. This particular episode, or part three, we're going to continue kind of my path into my early to mid-20s and kind of, you know, what took me to the more extreme parts of my gambling addictions. So, where I left off on the last episode, my main vice in terms of gambling, my main kind of area was poker. And at some point that had to change because poker became illegal online. So it changed how I operated. It changed, I guess, my ability to use that as the avenue, that as the reason of me continuing to gamble and thinking that I was on a path of, you know, somehow becoming some professional poker player. So I ended up losing quite a bit of money towards the end, right before all the websites shut down. My next goal was to really spend more time at the casino, and the casinos open 24 hours a day, with the ability to get on tables everywhere, pull out overdrafts or whatever the case may be to continue the action, which was a little bit different maybe than what I was able to do really online as well. So I had to make do, and I got very much into live poker at that point. Now, the biggest difference was in this kind of zone that I was in, I had already dug a very deep hole in terms of credit cards. My bank account had nothing in it. So this was really probably around, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years into my gambling, where I began to borrow money from people that I could never afford to pay back. And the more I borrowed money, the more I dug myself a hole where I was chasing losses. Now, you know, I mentioned this before, but if you understand, the worst thing that a gambler does or can do really is chase losses. You know that it's not something that you're going to be able to get back. You know that the more money you put in, the deeper the hole is that you continue to dig. So there was no coming back from, in my mind, in terms of I couldn't just let it go. I was not going to allow that to slide. I was not going to take the losses. I was going to continue to play. And so I did everything that I could to continue to play. That's where really most of my lying also began about gambling, because I had a relationship that I developed at the time with somebody. And the very early days, the gambling, even at its, more minimal state for myself, still caused me to lie about it in the very simple ways that I could. Lying that I probably didn't even need to do, but I did not want to share what I was doing, you know, where I was going, you know, how long I was there for, how much money I lost, or if I lost. I was very good at acting like everything was okay, and then only really sharing my wins, so it kind of looked like I was very successful at what I did. And even when I played with friends, when I come to poker, it looked like I knew what I was doing. It looked like I was good at it, and it looked like I had nothing to worry about. And if you know some things, some telltale signs, you know, we'll talk about them, later in the series as well. But there are ways that I could have identified me if I was looking at me at that time and knew that what I was doing wasn't going to equal success over time. So the poker continued, the things that I was doing continued. However, at the same time, I just mentioned I began a relationship, so I had to hide it there. I also began a job. So finally, I was making money that was much more than my normal, $11, $12 an hour job that I had at an early age. This was a job where I began to make thousands of dollars per month. This particular job gave me the ability, the capital to do more. And by do more, I mean, gamble higher stakes, take bigger risks. And then when I lost, or when I would lose, it would impact me less because it didn't feel like it was as much. It didn't feel like it was as big of a deal. I could make the money and I'd come right back. My responsibilities were, you know, even though I couldn't pay my credit card, they were still very low. So I didn't really have to worry about certain things like rent costs because I live with my parents. You know, I had very few fixed payments outside the credit card that I had already let loose. Now, the one thing that I didn't do properly is I didn't completely pay all my debts right away once I started working. What I did was I used the money from work to use as capital for gambling, to continue the cycle and to hopefully win money that I could put back into, you know, money that I owed somebody else, and then transfer that, you know, maybe a little bit of the difference of what I had owed to, you know, continue to gamble. But I couldn't even pay anybody back, even a little bit. I just kept borrowing. I kept making more excuses. And I did have a little bit of a lucky break where I ended up moving for work. And that move kind of gave me a break from the entire gambling scene because I could no longer do it online and I could no longer do it in person. So I really, you know, I made a good choice in terms of career over gambling. Now, this didn't quite last what I thought, because when you're a degenerate gambler, you don't realize that there are other things that you will become interested in to fill that void. Whatever that dopamine is that gets triggered in your brain when you gamble, there are other things that can also bring that same you know, excitement back to you. You know, so for me, I got into things like trading cards, you know, so opening, you know, random packs of football and baseball cards or whatever it was at the time, spending a lot of money on that, looking for the random card that would somehow give me the big payout. You know, that was one form of filling the void. The other form was playing the stock market. You know, I have no patience, like most people who invest in mutual funds, but I was always looking for the highest payout, the biggest opportunity, you know, and I ended up losing money, you know, because I took those very risky opportunities. So during the time that I had moved, I didn't really take as much of a break as I thought I did, because I ended up still putting myself in a position where I lost money because I was making poor investments to fill the void of actual gambling. You know, and this ultimately circled me back once I got back to the West Coast, you know, where I felt comfortable, and you know, you had Vegas and Los Angeles and places where you can access gambling and nightlife and things like that. You know, so when I did get back, my addiction resurfaced once again. It came back with, you know, even more, you know, strength, because, you know, now I had a little bit of money saved. I had a little bit of money in my pocket, even though I had spent some money on some other things. It was nowhere near what maybe I would have spent, you know, gambling, you know. So I had money available. I had opportunity to figure it out. And, you know, as soon as I, you know, got back and, you know, I happened to get to Las Vegas, you know, my betting began. And I made the mistake of actually moving and living in Las Vegas. And I thought that, hey, cost of living, you know, combined with all these great cheap ways of just operating out there, you know, because there's no state taxes, there's nothing that would really impact you in terms of, you know, financially, if you can just avoid gambling. So I thought that I could. And I thought that really I could just, you know, place a couple little bets here, a few little bets here, no big deal, football on Sundays, things like that. Well, I did that at the very beginning. Again, I won some money and it reminded me of, you know, why would I have stopped doing this before? Why didn't I continue doing this? And I realized that, well, there was a reason for that. And as I begin to start losing again, you realize that, you know, there's a reason why you stopped before, the reason why you should have stopped now. So it got to a very deep and dark place at that time. And consider at this point, I'm probably 27, 28, so 26, and you know, 26, 28 years old in this range while this is all happening. As I'm really starting to grow my career and my life and my opportunities, I wanted to, you know, continue to, you know, hopefully, you know, make some more money. But unfortunately, I did the opposite. I gambled more, which in turn cost me a lot of money, cost me opportunities to purchase things, you know, to maybe buy a house, things like that, that I really just took away from myself because I wanted to gamble and maybe make some more money and pay off the debts that I had in the past. So that became a tremendous mistake because at that point, once I made that choice to continue to gamble and really not give it up, it put me in a position where I was borrowing again. You know, and once you borrow, when you have access to funds once again, it creates deeper and deeper problems for you. And in that situation, I just so happened to be in an area, in a state where you could get payday loans. You know, I could have got them up to $5,000 at a time because that's how much I got paid. I got paid a certain amount of money that was a lot. And that amount of money for these particular payday loan places would give you a loan based on a percentage of whatever you make or how much they think you could pay back or whatever the case is. And in all reality, it was just a big trap. Every single one of the loans had crazy interest rates, and they were due in 2 weeks, very little amount of time to pay it off. The ones that were due longer had crazy amount of compounding interest. So if you borrow, let's say $4,000, you may end up paying back $20,000, $25,000 if you make all the payments. So getting myself in a position where I continued to dig and dig and dig and dig a further hole as I used really every possible resource that I thought I had in terms of lending, borrowing from any location that would. And those locations that would were lending to me based on the income that they saw that I generated every 2 weeks. What they didn't realize was that I had multiple loans with multiple institutions, multiple people, whatever, that would have made sure that I could never pay it back unless I actually started to win while I was sports betting. And I made a huge mistake. This is when I really transitioned from, you know, poker and things like that to now sports betting and now some table games and now some a little bit of everything because Vegas offered a little bit of everything to you. You could do whatever you wanted in terms of wagering, you know, all times of the day, you know, you could walk it in. There's just ways that they made it very easy from having an app for your home that's connected to the casino, and you can make deposits at almost anywhere. You can make deposits at the local bars into your account. So you could make a deposit with your card. You can make wagers from home and then go pick up the cash right at the casino. You don't have to worry about a weird cash out process. So it felt like everything was made pretty easy for me to, you know, fail and succeed all at the same time. In my mind, it was going to succeed, but in all reality, there was no success that was going to come from that. So I think I'll stop this episode right here, and I'll kind of dive a little bit further into what I did in Vegas that kind of put me into a deeper hole in a point of my career and life that I should have been thriving and moving upwards and finding ways to progress my life. So thank you again. I look forward to telling my story in the next episode, and please subscribe, hit the like button. Thank you so much, and you have a great day.